Hello and welcome to the program. We're here with our study in the book of Psalms, particularly chapter 119. Today we're going to look at verses 137 to 144. In 137, David said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright in thy judgments." Didn't God already know that? Then he said, "Thy testimonies that thou commandest are righteous and very faithful." God knew that too. "My zeal hath consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words." The Lord knew that. "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." The Lord knows his word is pure, and he knew that David loved it. "I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts." Yeah, he knew that. "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." Lord would answer, "That's right, but I already knew that. Trouble and anguish have taken hold of me, I know, yet thy commandments are my delights." Lord knew that too. "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting." Yep. Then he said, "Give me understanding, and I shall live." Well, it seems he's not telling the Lord anything that he doesn't already know. Now, here's the point here. He says, "Thou, righteous art thou. Your judgments are upright. Your testimonies, which you've commanded, they're very faithful. Thy words." The whole focus here is the fact that David is agreeing. It's a prayer of agreement with God. I don't know that we do that a lot, and we should. God is right. He never makes any mistakes. In 137, he said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments." He's saying, "I am in total agreement." Then we have Jeremiah. He said, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments." I'd like to talk to you about this other part. "Now I know you're righteous, but wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" Now, the point is, Jeremiah said God was righteous, but he's a little bit more questionable on this thing, and I'm not too sure that you and I haven't been there sometimes, too. Job went through all those troubles, and he says, "Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, and are mighty in power? Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. They spend their days in wealth." Job says, "I don't understand it." Well, he went on to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Now, 138, David said, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Thou hast commanded. They're not suggestions. You commanded the testimonies, and they are righteous. See, we have a prayer of agreement here. The thing is, someone has said prayer changes things, and it does. But most of all, prayer changes me. We need to realize that there's something about praying, especially if we will get in touch with the Lord and let him know that we are in agreement with whatever he is doing, even if we don't understand why he's doing it. 139, he said, "My zeal consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words." That's an interesting thing. Who are his enemies? Well, Micah 7:6 says, "A man's enemies are they of his own house." He wasn't being chased here by the Philistines. It was Saul, the king of Israel, who had thrown the spear at him. It was Saul who was hunting him down at this time. His enemies were they of his own house. Galatians 4:16, Paul had the same problem. He's talking to Christians in the church in Galatia. And he said, "Am I therefore become your enemies because I tell you the truth?" If you're going to stand for the truth today in this age of apostasy, when preachers are turning their back on the Word of God and just doing whatever they can do to get a crowd, you're going to find out that you're going to be their enemy because you tell them the truth. Jesus said in Matthew 10:36, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." And there we are today. That is exactly what it's prophesied would be in the last days. And we are there. Now, he said, "Mine enemies have forgotten thy words." You can't forget something you didn't already know at one time. And so he's not talking about the Philistines forgetting, or are those enemies, the Amalekites or whoever. No, he's saying those enemies within my own house have forgotten thy words. They have put out of their mind and ceased to think or consider. Today, it has to do with the issues. We can talk about a lot of issues, but two of the most prevalent ones are repentance and the music issue. Oh, no, I'll just put that out of my mind. If I go really saying what the Bible says to do, then I'm going to lose some of my friends. Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. But you better be right with God than right with your friends who are just not going to listen to what the Bible says. Wake up. He went on to say, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Now, this word very has been translated great. The word pure has been translated refiner. The word is a great refiner, and David said, therefore I love it. He said in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Proverbs 30 says, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Isaiah said, and I will turn, the Lord said in Isaiah 1:25, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away thy sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That is also part of David's prayer here in Psalm 119, verse number 11. Now notice he said, thy servant loveth it. It's not just agreeing with God. It's more than an agreement. He said, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. We want what's pure. We want what's right. We want what God wants. Then we're going to love the word of God. He said, I'm small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. And that's true today. If you happen to be in a little small church, oh no, they're going to look at those ones that got a big crowd of people that most of them aren't going to do what the Bible says anyway. But the word small here is very interesting. It has been translated youngest three times, and David was the youngest in the family. You remember he was despised when the prophet came to anoint a king. They didn't even bother to bring him in out of the field. He's out there with those few sheep, his brother said. Probably scrawny sheep. They didn't care what happened to them. I am the youngest, and he said, I am despised. Same with Joseph. When his brothers all came down to Egypt there when Joseph was in charge, they didn't know it was him. Remember, he had that supper, and it says, and they, that is the servants, sat before him, that is before Joseph, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one to another. The brothers said, how did he know? How did this servant know who was the oldest and who was the youngest? Well, Joseph told them. He was the youngest one. He was also despised. They threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. But God had his hand in all of that as well. Precepts, those are rules intended to regulate our thought, which in turn will regulate our behavior. And how did David handle that? Several times we read in the Bible, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. In spite of the circumstances, David behaved himself wisely. There's a good study right there. In 142, he said, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. The truth. Now, do you want the truth? Daniel said, I would know the truth. Do you really want the truth? The Lord said to Daniel, from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before the Lord, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You want to know the truth? Tell the Lord you want to know the truth, but don't lie to him. If you want to know the truth, tell him. And from the time that you set your heart to understand the truth, then David got to write a whole book in the Bible, or Daniel rather. Truth, very interesting. Proverbs 23, we read, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Now, it's a package deal. If you sell the truth, you sell wisdom, you sell instruction, and you sell understanding. If you don't want the truth, do we really think that God is going to give us wisdom to go on in doing things that aren't true? Instructions? He's not going to give us understanding either. How do we know that? Well, we read Solomon, the wisest man in the world. How'd he end his life? He says, as it happened to the fool, it happeneth even to me, Ecclesiastes 2:15. How dieth the wise man, he said? As a fool. Why? Because he didn't have any wisdom anymore. He didn't have any instruction or understanding from God's perspective. Oh, he had some wisdom on how to make a lot of money. Yeah, he was very wealthy. But the problem is, he turned his back on God. He started fighting the wars the way the other kings fought the wars. He started having a bunch of women. And God said kings were not to do that. Well, no. Once you sell the truth, it's pretty expensive, the truth. But once you sell it cheap. And you sell your wisdom, your instruction, and your understanding with it. He went on to say, trouble and anguish have taken hold of me. Yeah, God knew that. Yet he said, thy commandments are my delights. Now, trouble, that's something from without. Anguish, that's from within. See, yeah, if we're going to have this problem with anguish, it's in the mind, the will, and the emotions. And David's problem, like yours and mine, is we're human. They got that battle all the time, that old nature. It would be nice if we never had any of this anguish from within. David did. He said, it's taken hold on me. How did he handle it? He said, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Now, that word live has been translated quicken 14 times. It's been translated revive 12 times. He said, oh, anguish has taken hold of me. But he said, I get into your word. Your commandments are my delights. Your testimonies, give me understanding. There's a silly little song out there that says, I don't need to understand, I just need to hold his hand. And there's some element of truth, but we do need to understand. Jesus said in Matthew 5, hear and understand. Do ye not yet understand, he said? How is it that ye do not understand? Whoso readeth, let him understand. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Receive ye not yet, neither perceive ye not yet, neither understand. On and on, he says, why do ye not understand? He said, you can understand. Now, David said, give me understanding. I need some understanding. Well, you need to follow God's rules. If you're going to get that understanding, we need to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God get into us. Now, we're going to look at verses 145 to 152 in our next lesson. Be sure and be with us.